Good day to you. My name is Daylene Charles, and I'm pastor of Care and Missions here at EBIC, and it is so good to be with you today. Well, here we are, the first Sunday of 2021, way back at the end of 2019, when the staff worked out the preaching schedule, I signed up to preach the last Sunday of 2020. Not knowing about a virus called COVID-19 or words like social distancing or flattening the curve, it was way before I knew that we would go through a year of the ups and downs of living in a pandemic and all the difficulties we've experienced as a nation, both politically and racially, as well as all the other things that have been piled into 2020. When I was scheduled to preach the last Sunday of 2020, I also did not know that I would contract the COVID virus along with my family and spend the Christmas season quarantined and not feeling very well. Hence the reason I'm preaching today and not the last Sunday of 2020 as originally planned. If you've been joining us during these last few weeks, we've been in a series called The Hopes and Fears of All the Years, which is actually a line from a familiar Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And this Sunday is our final message in that series. For many of us, it has been a welcome thing to begin the new year, like Pastor Adam said at the beginning of our service, and say goodbye to 2020. But as we all realize, the reality is that it is just another day when we turn that calendar page over to January 1, 2021. Chaos and crises do not follow a calendar year. So, how do we look at what we've come through in this past year and move forward into this new year with hope and confidence? What does God have to say to us as we begin 2021? Well, looking back for a few minutes, 2020 has been a year like no other. I have sometimes felt like that opening line in the book, The Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. The opening line was, "It was the best of times and the worst of times." It's been a time of chaos, conflicts, and despair, as well as happiness. For many of us, 2020 had some really wonderful moments. More time with family, maybe, a less hectic schedule, time to enjoy the small things of life, along with some really bad moments. Loss of loved ones, not being able to be with people that we care about. Loss of job, financial stress, illness, isolation, and much more. It was the best of times and the worst of times. Back in September, there was a week where my first grandchild, Jasper Ruiz Charles, was born. Hopefully you can see of a picture of him there. I'm a proud grandmother. I think he's adorable. One of my greatest joys. Jasper was born in the midst of a global pandemic, and on a day when outside his hospital window, ash was falling from the sky as California was burning. It was the best of times and the worst of times. During that same week when I was overjoyed with the birth of Jasper, I mourned the loss of a college friend who sadly took his life. It was the best of times and the worst of times. Today we're looking at a passage in Jeremiah that has a verse plopped right in the middle that probably a lot of us have memorized and can recite. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Well, if you're like me, you've used this verse many times. I've quoted it in my mind in hard times. I've prayed it over my children. In fact, a vivid memory for me was when my son Seth was in college, and he took this summer to ride bike across the United States from the westernmost point in California to the easternmost tip in Maine with three other high school friends. There was a particular time when they were going to be riding across the desert at night. Just four guys on their bikes traveling at night. As a mom, that was a scary thought. I remember repeating this verse from Jeremiah 29 throughout a very sleepless night. Well, it's easy to understand why we use this verse as a promise, as a comfort, or to put on a card for a graduate, because it sure seems like this verse is saying God has big dreams for us to ensure safety and prosperity and success in all our future endeavors. God already has your personal, happily ever after, Hallmark-type Christmas card ending waiting for you. But if we've learned nothing else from 2020, we have learned that life is not all sunshine and rainbows. So let's take the next few minutes to look at this passage and hopefully glean a few things for helping us end a very hard year and stand at the brink of a new year. Looking for hope, longing to return to normal, but knowing that in many ways we are still living in exile, learning how to live with the best of times and the worst of times. We are in the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, and as you might remember from a few weeks ago, Pastor John's message, the nation of Israel had split into two rival kingdoms, the northern and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was called Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah. Jeremiah was from a town just north of Jerusalem in the southern kingdom. He was a prophet during the reigns of the last five kings of Judah. Now, this was a chaotic time, both politically, morally, and spiritually. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Jeremiah's job as a prophet was to speak God's message courageously to God's people. The Israelites had wandered far from God, disobeying his commands. And eventually the nation of Judah was caught up in a battle for world supremacy between Babylon and Egypt and Assyria. And the Israelites found themselves hauled away, captured and hauled away to the city of Babylon. Exiles in a foreign land, a new normal for them. Now, it's important to understand that these words in Jeremiah were not written to a people that were living in happily ever after land. They were exiles living shattered lives. Their homes, their nation, their freedoms, their livelihoods, and their temple lie in ruins. They were strangers in a strange land, with no way of going back to the old way of life anytime soon. So, with this background in mind, let's look at Jeremiah 29, and we're going to start in verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name, and I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Well, as we look at this passage, I think we can learn something about living life in exile. When we are not where we want to be, how should we respond? Well, let's look at what God told the Israelites to do while in exile. And the first one is this: make the best of things. At the beginning of this passage, God was encouraging the people to build houses and plant gardens and marry and have children and have grandchildren, increase in number and not decrease. God was instructing them to make the most of their present situation and not sit around and wait for it to be over. In spite of the current tragedy that we find ourselves in, life must go on. We know that there's not going to be this sudden, at least we don't think so, quick ending to the problems we currently face. Sadly, we already know that as we turn the calendar to the new year, it didn't really bring about any major change for us. So then we do the best we can. We make the most of what we have. We continue our work. We persevere through loneliness and isolation. And we try to make relationships at the top of our priority list. You know, I believe that this is a great time to renew our commitment to checking in with others. Now, if you're like me, you are Zoom fatigued. I sometimes wish I'd never would have heard that word Zoom. But we need to put that aside and use the tools that God has given us, whatever that is, our phones, Zoom, FaceTime, to connect with others. I heard recently of one person here at EBIC that has what he calls a checking in list, and I really like this. This is a list of people that he checks in with each week. It's a great way to build relationships and encourage other people. You know, if each one of us decided to make it our goal here right now, the beginning of the new year, to have a checking in list, can you imagine what a difference that would make? One of the senior ladies of our congregation asks God every day to put someone in her mind, and then she gives that person a call. And I can tell you, there have been many divine appointments in those phone calls. Pastor and author Tony Evans says this: while you're waiting on the plan for your well-being, he says, seek the well-being of others. While you're waiting for your blessing, be a blessing. While you're waiting for your deliverance, be a deliverer. While you're waiting for your change to come, be part of somebody else's change. Don't get so self-absorbed while you're waiting. Use it as an opportunity to get outside of yourself and become a ministry to others while you're waiting on God to become a ministry to you. While you're waiting to see God unfold his plan for you, allow him to use you to be unfolding his plan for somebody else. It's more blessed to give than to receive. The second thing that God was asking the exiles to do was to pray where they were. Pray where you are. Jeremiah 29:7 says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. Jeremiah was telling the people to pray for the shalom of the nation where they had been exiled. Shalom is a Hebrew word meaning peace harmony, tranquility, prosperity, welfare. Now, I can only imagine how hard it must have been for the Israelites to pray for the peace of a nation that had carried them away from their homeland. How can we begin to ask God to bless our current situations, our surroundings, praying for the peace and harmony and wholeness and welfare of our homes and our communities? I read recently about Chris Hall, who's an author and teacher, and he's the president of Renovare, which is a spiritual formation think tank. And he has a really handy example that I think can help us to pray for our surroundings. He calls it the circle of God's providence. You might want to just draw this in your journal or jot this down. Make a small circle, and in that small circle, put your family. Maybe it's the people you live with, or if you live by yourself, it's your children or grandchildren. And ask God how you can encourage them each day. And then around that little circle, put a bigger circle. That circle is your church, EBIC. Pray for the leadership here at EBIC, and pray for people of EBIC that come to your mind. And then the final circle, the bigger one yet, outside the other two, is your neighbors, your coworkers. Pray for them and ask God to show you ways to connect with them. There's no doubt that the pandemic has heightened relational issues. These can be issues that had already existed pre-pandemic, and now everything is compounded by the closeness of which we're living and the stress that we all are facing. Chris Hall goes on to encourage us, as we pray for our family and our church and our neighbors, to think the best of the people we are tempted to think the worst of. Pray for the shalom of your current situation. And just an aside about prayer, starting next week, we're starting a sermon series on prayer called Make the Ask, where we're going to go back to the basics of prayer, learning more about prayer, like why bother with prayer? What do I pray about? What difference does it make? I believe it would be a great goal to commit to being part of this series of messages. Number three, beware of listening to the wrong voices. Jeremiah 29, verse 8, God warned the people not to be influenced by the wrong voices. They are prophesying lies to you in my name, and I have not sent them, declares the Lord. You know, there's nothing that Satan would love to do more than to fill us with negativity and draw us into influences that discourage us. Jesus gave us this warning in John 10:10. The thief, Satan, comes to steal and kill and destroy. I, Jesus, have come that they might have life and have it to the full. During these difficult times, I encourage you to be discerning about what you let influence you throughout the day. I think that word doom scrolling maybe became popular this year. Avoid doom scrolling. There is so much out there today that is directed at mesmerizing us and seductively leading us into negative thinking. As I said at the beginning of this message, my family was struck down with COVID during the last half of December. I was not prepared for the mental slog that COVID wreaked on me and some members of my family. I knew about all of the other symptoms, but for me, the exhaustion and the mental anxiety was a surprise, something that caught me off guard and shook me to the core. Throughout this time, I can say I realized how important positive, encouraging voices were to me. I'm truly grateful for the prayers and the texts that people sent and encouragement and care that many dear people have given to us during these last weeks. I encourage you to examine closely what you are filling your time with. and what voices you are allowing to influence you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Number four, take the long view. Remember that these words in Jeremiah 29 were spoken to a displaced, depressed, discouraged, defeated group of exiles. If we go back to Psalm 137, there's an amazing picture of how they felt at this time. Psalm 137, verse 1 says, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion, their homeland. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors ask us for songs, or our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, 'Sing us one of the songs of Zion.' How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land?" Do you feel this same sense of despair? I know I do at times. We live in a day in which everyone wants immediate gratification, and if we're not careful, that can easily rub off on us. We, as Christ followers, live in a different paradigm. We are called to take the long view. I was reading recently of a story of Zhang Jingxin Ding, who lived in China during the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s and 70s. He experienced incredible persecution because of his faith in God. It is written that John felt the mighty power of God within him, strengthening him to endure unbearable persecution. His captors tied his hands behind his back and then dumped buckets of human waste over him. Without food and the ability to clean himself, they over and over again asked John to deny his faith and admit to crimes he did not commit. He was tortured day and night. And when he felt that he could take no more, his face started to glow and he began to sing a song from the scripture 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Eventually, the authorities gave up and stopped trying to make John deny his faith, and he was eventually released from prison. With God, there is always a future. It may not be exactly what we picture or imagine, but in the scripture that Melita read earlier in Isaiah 43, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." As we leave 2020 behind and the difficulties that we have experienced, let's ask ourselves, how can we be better for what we've come through in these last 12 months? As we inch maybe ever closer to the possible end of the pandemic, what do we want to take with us from this time in quarantine? And further, what from the past do we want to leave behind and put behind us? The Apostle Paul says this in Philippians, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." This is taking the long view. And finally, seek the Lord. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 says that when you call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You know, I think in hard times, sometimes we lose that sense of God's presence in our lives. We know that Job did. Job lost pretty much everything, his family, his wealth, his health. And Job said in chapter 23 of Job, verse 8, "But if I go to the east, God is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him." Job felt far from God in his suffering. Yet Job resolved this, and he goes on to say in verse 10, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." You know, in times of trouble and suffering, we tend to want to focus on the external. I know when I was sick, that's how I felt. What's going to make me better? But God is encouraging us to focus on the internal and the eternal. Start with your heart. Is God at the center of your life right now? Have you surrendered your life to his leading? Have you gotten off track over these last hard months? Are there areas of life, of your life right now, in rebellion to what God wants for you? And probably most importantly, have you sought Jesus as your Savior? Jesus calls us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. God's promise here in Jeremiah that we love so much: "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That promise was that he wasn't finished with those exiles yet. And that is true for us today. The final verse of "O Little Town of Bethlehem" is a wonderful prayer for the beginning of this new year, 2021. "O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel." As we look to this new year, what better time than for us to focus on making the best of where we're at right now, focusing on prayer, refraining from listening to negative voices, taking the long view, and finally, and most importantly, seeking God's presence in our lives. As we prepare our hearts for communion now, let's spend a few minutes seeking God in prayer. Would you pray with me? Dear God, as we begin this new year, what a perfect time to pause and take stock of our lives. Lord, I ask for those of us that are seeking after you that you forgive us. Forgive me where I have gotten off track. Show us ways to make you more a part of our lives in 2021. Strengthen our faith, fill us with hope, and help us to take steps to love you more and to love others. And if you would like to receive Christ as your Savior today, pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I want to give you my life to you now. Forgive me for what I have been and what I have done this far in my life. I've decided that I want to follow you from this time on as long as I live, and I ask for your Holy Spirit to give me strength. Oh God, you have promised that you're with us and that you love us and that you're concerned about the smallest details of our lives. We ask that your Holy Spirit, the great comforter, would bring healing to our hearts today. We ask for comfort where we are lonely, strength where we are weak, and courage to face the future unafraid, knowing we stand in the hope of Jesus Christ alone, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.